Well, howdy. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you again for joining me in this format. We'll just talk a little bit about Jesus and what it means to be in Christ. Interesting, amazing to me that so many Christians, though they read those words, if they read the New Testament, because it's the phrase is more expressed more than any other phrase, the phrase in Christ, that so few Christians understand what that means. To be in Christ, to understand that's the gospel. That's what it means to be a Christian, is that you've been placed into the very life of Christ so that he can live out his life through your life and your life story. That every day you wake up to another day in the life of Jesus lived out through your unique humanity and your situations and circumstances in life. Well, I know that many people are busy today getting final things ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. I trust that even though you may be very busy, that on the inside you're experiencing the rest of Jesus. He's invited us to enter into his rest, and that you're just experiencing the peace that Jesus has, the peace that passes understanding, that it guards your heart, your emotions, it guards your mind. So it's not all the traffic and the busyness in your mind, obsessive thoughts. And that you're just knowing the peace of Christ, and that tomorrow you'll have the best day of just family and fun, and which is my favorite sacrament, by the way. And that it'll be a day of real reflection, because no one in the world has the right to be as thankful as a person who is in Christ. So let me just share this little story with you. This is from Luke 19, not John. The story of Zacchaeus. Really familiar. Let me just read these 10 verses, then we'll talk about some stuff. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Christ, for he himself was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house." And Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying repeatedly, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." To remember the context here, the circumstance, the situation, is that one of the grouping of people that was most despised among the Jews, by the Jews, were tax gatherers. Because tax gatherers were Jews, but they worked for the Romans, and they made a lot of money in working for the Romans, plus they cheated their fellow Jews. They defrauded them. They were known for that, famous for that, and they would keep that extra money. And it says about Zacchaeus that he was a chief tax collector. So he was the head of a branch of tax collectors in whatever regions in Jericho area. And so he was probably especially despised, because he had probably defrauded or overseen the defrauding of so many people who were basically a slave nation under Rome. And whenever Jesus, at this point in Jesus' life, would come into a town or a village, crowds would follow him. And so as Jesus is coming into the town, Zacchaeus must have known he was coming, he had heard about it, and he wanted to see him. Now, why did he want to see him? I don't know. He knew he was a man of God. Maybe because of his own guilt, maybe his own shame. He had heard that Jesus had done amazing things for a lot of people. I'm not sure why he wanted to see him, but he did. But he was so short, he couldn't see him in the crowd. He couldn't get high enough to see him. So he ran ahead to where he knew a sycamore tree was, climbed up in the tree, waiting for Jesus to come by so he could see him. And when Jesus gets to where that tree is, he stops and he looks up. Now understand, God in Christ stopped for this one person. Remember what it says in John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. And the word there to reveal means that Jesus explained him. Jesus revealed him totally, completely. He was the exact representation of his nature. And so Jesus came to tell the truth about God, because they had all these false concepts of God. They only saw him as a perfectionist. But because God's perfect, what's most perfect about him is his love, his kindness, and his goodness. His goodness is his glory. So here we see Christ giving an exhibition of the truth about God, that God stopped for this one man who was incredibly despised, who had been a thief, basically, cheating his own people who were under the rule of Rome, cheating them for his own benefit. And he was very rich as a result of it. This had not been a good man. His life had not been one that was very good. And he certainly wasn't very popular among the people. And yet, Jesus stopped for him, kind of like the woman at the well. You always see that. It's just amazing, those stories. So God has Jesus stop. Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing, only said those things he heard the Father saying. And this is what the Father was doing. And so Jesus stopped and looked up at him and said, "Hurry, come down. I must be in your house this day." And Zacchaeus was so thrilled that Jesus, this man of God, wanted to be with him in his house. Nobody wanted to be with him unless they wanted a favor from him. Nobody wanted to spend time with him. Everybody kept him at arm's length, again, unless they needed a favor from him because he was wealthy, because he was a tax collector. Probably spent people, maybe a number of people spent time with him begging him to give them a break, begging him to not take advantage of them. But nobody wanted to just be with him. No, not a man of God would want to be with him, and yet Jesus wanted to be with him. And it says he gladly hurried down and received him. And as a result of Jesus coming into his home, he says to the Lord, he says to him that all of his possessions, half of them of his possessions, he's going to give to the poor. And if he had defrauded anyone, he was going to give four times much back to that person as he defrauded from them. That's an enormous act of surrender, an act of repentance, an act of love towards humanity that he had been so greedy with and so self-centered towards. What happened? Did Jesus preach a message to try to make him feel guilty? No. Did Jesus condemn him? No. You know, just like the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, when everybody wanted to stone this woman, and Jesus said, "Who's without sin, cast the first stone." And then when he did what he did and they all left, and Jesus said, "Did any of them condemn you?" And she says, "No." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus came to not condemn us. I didn't say Jesus didn't condemn us when he came. I said he came to not condemn us. He came to reveal the kindness of God, the love of God, the true nature of God. Every healing that he performed, every act like this, the woman at the well, woman caught in adultery, he did those things reveal the kindness of God. And the kindness of God is what draws a person to repentance. Romans 2:4. When the woman caught in adultery and Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you," then he said, "Go and sin no more." Having chosen to not condemn her, he said, "Now go and sin no more." Because it's the kindness of God that breaks us in a holy way. Here's Zacchaeus in this act of absolute, total, radical surrender. this act of repentance. He does this because he had encountered the kindness of God. Again, not because Jesus had condemned him in any way, but because he encountered God's kindness. Great saints are not great achievers. Great saints are great receivers. The elementary principle of the world that Colossians talks about, Paul mentions it twice, is that you must achieve so that you can receive something from God. The gospel says, in Christ you've received everything. God's absolute, total, unconditional love for you, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You've received everything. Therefore, in light of that, you can go achieve things in the name of Christ. When you come to a place in your life when you're able to receive his goodness, receive his kindness, receive in fullness, receive to overflowing, trust to overflowing in God's goodness towards you, trust overflowing God's kindness towards you. It's at that point, that's where real surrender comes forth. Not trying to perform something to get God to bless you, but realizing that God has blessed you as an act of grace. And again, he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places as just an act of sheer grace. Jesus is the ultimate gift of God to us. And we've been placed into his life as a co-heir with him, as an act of grace, grafted into the sonship of Jesus, having his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, as near to them as he is, as an act of grace. When you're able to receive those things, then your life becomes one that overflows with kindness and the goodness of God, the glory of God. And when that happens, as that happens, you just want to keep giving more and more to him. Not out of guilt, not trying to manipulate him, out of absolute loving him back because he first loved you. Out of sheer consequence of receiving his kindness. That's Zacchaeus, a man that nobody wanted to be with except for Jesus. And Jesus didn't come to him asking him for anything. He just wanted to be with him. That kindness broke him, and he surrendered everything as a result. I remember one time years ago, I was looking at something on Facebook, and it was someone who had wronged me and some others in a pretty bad way. And there were people that I knew that were like Facebook friends who had obviously been corresponding. And there was this yucky thing inside of me. And I didn't really realize it until that moment that I had an offense still towards this person. I had forgiven them. But what had happened is I had devalued them. I had devalued them. And my sense of justice was I wanted nothing to do with them. And I was offended still. And I realized that I was offended with the people who would be having anything to do with this person in light of what this person had done. And man, the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, Chuck, I'm not offended with that person. I'm offended for them. I'm offended for them because I hate what the enemy's done to them and the kind of self-destruction it's brought into their life, because sin is a killer. He said, I'm offended for them, and I don't stay away from him, because if I stayed away from him, how could I change him? I thought, wow. Lord, wow. As your true test in my life of the authenticity of my Christianity is not how much I love Jesus, but how much I love this man. Because if I love this man with the love of Christ, that means that I've been receiving all that God's given to me. I've been a good receiver. And then this is a consequence of me receiving how much he loves me, and I'm loving him. And the overflow of all that just comes out of me, comes out of the pores of my being, should be that I love others because that's what happens when you're a good receiver, you're a good giver. Freely we've received, freely we give. And from that point forward, I let go of all my offense towards this person, and I was so glad that others were still in contact with them, because, you know, how can we change them if we can't be with them? Well, I trust this is a story that ministers to you, because maybe you've blown it enough. Maybe people have put you at arm's length, or maybe there's people in your life that you've put at arm's length or don't want anything to do with because they've been a sinner, like all of us have sinned, right? But aren't you grateful that Jesus has never wanted to not have anything to do with you? He's never gone away. He's always stayed committed. Because how can he change you if he's not with you? It's his kindness that has caused him to be so committed to us that from the inside out, he teaches us to receive his goodness, his kindness, his love, so that we can trust him in every area, so that we become more and more like him, and others encounter the kindness of God as it overflows through us, and it brings them into a relationship with God. Okay? Well, again, I trust that you have another great afternoon in Christ, and that you have a great, great Thanksgiving. I love you so much. I'm so grateful that any of you tune in, or whatever it's called, you turn on the Facebook and watch this. My prayer is that you'll discover more about who he is, and therefore who he is in you. This one who is filled with kind intentions towards you and towards me. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great, great, great rest of the day. God bless you.